For those of you who don't know who I am, if maybe you're here for Cadet Sunday or just checking West End out for the first time, my name is Corey Plockmeyer. I'm the pastor here at West End. And I want to be honest with you about one of the things that's really hard as a pastor. Every week, it's my job to stand up here to preach a sermon. And one of the biggest temptations as a pastor is to make it seem as though my faith life is always up here. Right? That things are always great, that my spiritual journey with Christ is always going amazingly well, that I just feel God's presence in my life week after week after week after week. And some weeks I don't. My faith has ups and downs. And sometimes the strongest temptation as a pastor is to make up for whether my faith is feeling particularly strong and vibrant or not with the profundity of spiritual insights. Right, I can cover up whether or not I am growing in my faith if I can just come up with something profound enough that you look at me and go, wow. Friends, the reality is my faith life has its ups and downs. The reality is that there are weeks when I feel God's presence so near that it feels as though I can touch Him. And there are weeks where I sit there and go, God, where are you? And spiritual growth and spiritual health can't be and isn't measured by the depth of our insight into the Bible. Spiritual growth and spiritual health isn't and can't be measured by our knowledge of what God says in the Bible. Because let me tell you, I can tell you that I could stand up here and I could tell you what a given passage says, but just because I might have some profound insight into that passage doesn't mean that my faith is vibrant or that I'm growing in my faith. So if spiritual health isn't measured by what we know, if spiritual health isn't measured by the profound things we say, then what is it measured by? Because I'm guessing that I'm not the only one who has ups and downs in my faith. I'm guessing that I'm not the only one who sometimes has these moments where I feel like I can feel God right near me and moments where I go, God, where are you? I'm guessing that I'm not the only one who sometimes goes, how do I get myself out of this spiritual rut? I'm guessing I'm not the only one who finds myself asking, how do I grow spiritually? How do I grow closer in my walk with Jesus Christ? And how do I deepen and strengthen my life as a follower of Jesus? Right, maybe we've been coming to church our whole lives, West End or another church. Maybe we've been a part of this church thing for years and years and years, and yet we still face this up and down because that's what happens, and we're trying to get a sense of how we grow spiritually. Right, or maybe we're here and we're just sort of checking out this whole faith thing. We're not even really sure what it is that we believe, but we're asking, if I want to walk with Jesus, what does that mean? What does that look like? Here at West End, we're walking through a series on our mission statement. And this week we come to the line that says we grow in faith and love. And that's all well and good that we respond to God's grace by growing in faith and love. But what does that actually look like? How do we measure? How do we know that we are actually growing in our faith? Well, I think Jesus gives us an image, a picture that helps us understand what growth is, to help us understand how we grow closer to God, how we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that comes in John chapter 15, and it's the image of a vine. But we're going to get to that image in just a minute. But first, I want to get a sense of what's happening around John chapter 15. So in John chapter 13, John tells us, then Jesus demonstrated the full extent of his love, and he washes his disciples' feet. He and his disciples have gathered to celebrate the Passover, the big Jewish festival celebrating God's salvation. They're gathered in this house. And Judas leaves to betray Jesus. Jesus knows that he is arriving to his final days. In fact, so much so that in the rest of chapter 13 and in chapter 14, he begins to tell his disciples, I'm going to die. And he talks to them about what's going to happen after he's gone. And then in chapter 14, verse 31b, he says, come now, let us leave. Now in chapter 16 and 17, Jesus is going to pray. In chapter 18, Jesus is going to arrive in the Kidron Valley and then go into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is going to be arrested. But what this tells us is that John chapter 15 happens on the road. It happens while Jesus and his disciples are walking from wherever it was that they celebrated the Passover on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. So two things that means. One, it means that there's almost a stream of consciousness flow to what Jesus is going to say to his disciples in chapter 15. You know how sometimes when we're walking and talking, we say the most important things, but we sort of say them over and over again because it's what's so clearly on our mind. And that's what we're going to see here in John chapter 15. The second thing we see, though, that they are on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Again, Jesus has just talked about he is reaching the end of his life. Jesus knows that he is about to die, about to be arrested, about to give his own life. So this is some of the last things that Jesus is going to say to his disciples. In other words, this, what we see here in chapter 15, is one of the most important things that Jesus thought so important to say to his disciples that he talks about it on his way to be arrested. In other words, I think we need to make sure to listen up to what Jesus says here in John chapter 15. And what Jesus talks about in John 15 is growth, is how we grow, and what growth looks like as those who follow Jesus. So in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This image of a vine, right, of life growing from one primary stem, that is Jesus. Right, we're reminded that all spiritual growth comes in and through Jesus. We live in a world that's searching for hope, searching for meaning, searching for fulfillment. Part of our calling as followers of Jesus Christ is to see that search, to see that hope, to see that desire, and help our friends and our neighbors see Jesus as the source of life and health. But notice the movement that we see here in chapter 15. Jesus is the vine. We grow out of the vine that is Jesus. And if we want to know that we are healthy, that we are a healthy part of the vine that is Jesus, Jesus says, you will bear much fruit. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches of the vine. How do we know that we are healthy and a growing part of the vine? Are we bearing fruit? Okay. Well, what is the fruit? This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay, so Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. How do we know that we are healthy and growing? We bear much fruit. How do we bear much fruit? What does that fruit look like? That fruit is to show people that we are Jesus' disciples. And any cadet can tell you, how do we know, how do people know that we are Jesus' disciples? Jesus says it in John chapter 14, verse 15. Cadets, what does John 14, 15 say? Thank you, cadets. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. So let's make sure we got that movement. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. How do we know that we are a healthy and growing branch? We bear much fruit. What does that fruit look like? That fruit is to show people that we are disciples of Jesus. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay. Let's go one more step. John 15, verses 9 through 12. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Remember, Jesus is walking, talking with his disciples 10 times in these 4 verses, command and love, over and over again. I think Jesus wants us to get a point here. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. How do we know that we are a healthy, growing branch on the vine? We bear much fruit. What does that fruit look like? That fruit looks like keeping Jesus' commands. What is that command? Love one another as Jesus has loved us. What Christ commands is to love each other. It is simultaneously as simple and as difficult as that. If we are a healthy, growing part of the vine that is Christ, we will bear much fruit. What is that fruit? To keep God's commands. What are God's commands? What is Jesus' command? To love each other as Jesus loved us, as simple as that. If we are a healthy, growing part of the vine, we will bear much fruit. That fruit is to keep Jesus' commands. What does Jesus command? To love each other as Jesus loved us. It's as difficult as that. Jesus has just spent the last chapter telling his disciples that he is going to die. And he spent the chapter before that putting himself in the position of a servant to demonstrate the extent of his love. And now Jesus says to us, love each other as I have loved you. It is simultaneously as simple and difficult as that. But notice, how do we bear fruit? Because there's a step in between there. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. How do we remain a part of the vine and bear that healthy fruit? Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Loving each other is both the input and the output. Loving each other as Christ loved us is how we experience God's love for us. And as we love each other as Christ loved us, we find it easier to love each other as Christ loved us. Loving each other is both the input and the output. It is the means by which we grow, and it is the demonstration that we are a healthy, growing part of the vine that is Jesus Christ. But one further step. Jesus says in verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, this is what Jesus is about to do. This is how Jesus will demonstrate the extent of his love for us. Because Jesus looks at his disciples, Jesus looks at all of us, and he says, "You are my friend. I have called you my friend, and I am going to lay down my life so that you may have life." Jesus is going to give up his own life in order to show us the depths of God's love for us. And because of that grace and that forgiveness, Jesus says, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or where you're from or what socioeconomic status you have. None of that matters. All that matters is the grace of Jesus. And now if we want to grow in that, if we want to experience more and more the depths of God's love for us, Jesus says, put others first. Live the same sort of life that Jesus lived. Which brings us to sort of where we've been going all along with this, and that is that growing disciples love concretely. What I mean is this, growing disciples, if we are disciples of Jesus who are growing in our faith, the evidence that we are loving the people right and around us and in front of us will be there. So some of you know I'm a big fan of the BBC sci-fi show Doctor Who. Anybody else watch Doctor Who? A couple? Hey, we got a couple Doctor Who fans. Awesome. The show is like 55 years old now, 53 years old now. So a couple years ago, they had the 50th anniversary special, and Lauren and I said, hey, we're going to host a little Doctor Who 50th anniversary watch party. So we invited a bunch of people over who told us that they loved Doctor Who. Well, they get there and come to find out none of them have seen any of the recent episodes. Nobody knew what was happening, and they all spent the whole 50th anniversary talking over the show. It's like, you don't actually love it. If you loved it, you would be sitting here glued to the show. If we are growing in our love of Jesus Christ, that love has to be and will be concrete. It won't be abstract. It won't be loving the idea of something. We will be loving the people and the community that God has put around us. What Jesus commands is to love one another. It is simultaneously as simple and as difficult as that. Love one another. Love the people who are around you. Love your family. Love your neighbors. Love your community. Simple as that. Love your family. Even that crazy uncle who thinks very different politically than you do. Love your neighbor, even the one who gives you a phone call when your kids drive into the neighborhood too quickly. Love your community, even those people who make different decisions regarding their finances or regarding their lifestyle or regarding where they're headed with their lives. It's as difficult as that. Growing disciples love concretely. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down one's life for one's friends. Friendship involves knowing and being known. If we're going to love those whom God puts us into contact with, we must know and be known. So this past Wednesday, we had probably about 50-ish families come through for the Feeding America food truck. And we sent home a whole bunch of people with food. Awesome. Really awesome. You know what's even better than those families who came and got food in my book? Is the dozen or so who stayed for dinner. Or the ones who were sitting inside while they waited for us to set up and who got into conversations with folks who were here. Awesome. But you know what's even better than that, though? Is when somebody came up to me and said, hey, this person is looking for a Spanish language Bible. Do we have any? Because you know what that means? That means that we're talking to each other. We're getting to know the people who are here. If we're going to love concretely, it means knowing and being known. If we are going to live into who God is inviting us to be, it means knowing each other and it means being known by our community. What an awesome thing to celebrate Cadet Sunday. I get up here a lot of Sundays and I talk about Cadets or Gems. I talk about Kids Hope. I talk about Children's Ministries. I talk about the relationship we have with our Christian schools. Why? Is it because I want you to give more money or give more time or be involved and invested more? No. Actually, that's not the point. The reason why I'm passionate about those things is because they are ways that God is inviting us to know our community, to know the children that God is bringing into this church, and to show them the love that God has for them by the ways that we love them. Growing disciples love concretely. You see, ultimately, spiritual growth in John chapter 15 is measured in love. We can do devotions every morning. Awesome. What a great thing to do. But if those devotions don't turn around and result in concrete love for those around us, then I think we've missed the point. We can have a vibrant prayer life. Awesome. I hope we do. But if that prayer life never moves beyond ourselves and what we do from day to day into the ways that we interact with others, and the love that we show them, I think we've missed the point. We can know the scriptures inside and out. We can go to every single Bible study that this church offers. We can go to every Bible study offered by every church in the community. We could have the entire scripture memorized. But if that knowledge of scripture doesn't lead us to concrete actions of love and living out that good news of the God who loves us, the God who embraces us, and the God who invites us to love our world and our community, well, then I think we've missed the point. Spiritual growth is measured in love. It is simultaneously as simple and as difficult as that. Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down one's life for one's friends. Loving concretely means that we know and are known. One of the challenges of loving one another in a context in a community like this one is just, we can't all know each other. I'm still working on learning all of your names, let alone actually know what's going on in your life to such an extent that I can walk with you and help your faith grow and deepen. So one of the things that we do here at West End is we have small groups. And small groups aren't just one more thing to add to your calendar. Small groups are a way of putting concrete love into action by doing life together, giving us space to know each other and to safely be known in a way that we simply can't in a body of this size. And so this morning, I want to invite you to prayerfully consider whether God might be stirring your heart to grow in your faith, to grow in our ability to love one another and to be loved by being a part of a small group. Again, not because I think you need something else to do, but because I think we all need that body of people who can know us and who we can know so that we can better love one another. If you're interested in being part of a small group, there's a sign-up sheet on the black table in the Fellowship Center. You can also talk to Jameson. Jameson, can you just wave a minute so people know who you are? But I want to ask Stephanie Smith if Stephanie agreed to just share a little bit of their experience of being a part of a small group and what it has meant for them.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. In case you're wondering who was pregnant with triplets, that is this person. It's not contagious, so don't be afraid to say hi. In case you're wondering, we're having identical girls and a boy, hopefully end of April, middle of May, so over halfway there, which is exciting and terrifying. So we came to West End after moving back from Nashville about 3 years ago. Didn't know anyone in the area. We moved to the West Side, liked this church, and wanted something close to home. So that's why we landed here. But I think our small group is a reason, played a big role in why we've stayed here and felt so invested in this church. Our small group meets once a month, which we've done regularly for 3 years now. We have dinner and then brief devotional and prayer time. It's evolved. What we've done has evolved over time just because our group has changed with adding kids and that kind of thing. But it's been just wonderful to share life with these people. We've had babies. We've lost pregnancies. We've had job changes, job stressors, family issues. Just a lot. And it's been great to have more than just a brief conversation outside of church, but to have more connection beyond that. And I think all of us would say it's even led to better, more involvement on our part in church as well, whether council or praise band or children's worship. I don't know if Jason and I necessarily would have made some of those steps unless we had already been invested in these people here that we care about. And yeah, we just really value those friendships and would love to see other people be able to take part in that as well. So if you have any questions, you're welcome to ask us and Jameson as well. Thank you.
Jesus says, I'm the vine. You are the branches. A healthy branch remains in the vine. How do we remain in the vine? We keep Jesus' commands. What is that command? To love each other. A healthy branch on the vine brings forth fruit. What is that fruit? That we keep Jesus' commands. What is that command? To love each other. Jesus' command, the way that we grow and the measure of our growth is to love one another. It is simultaneously as simple and as difficult as that. Let's pray. God, we pray that you would invite us into deeper relationship with you. Open our eyes to what it is that you are doing in our community and in our world. Open our eyes to the people that you have placed in front of us and the ways that we can love them concretely. God, may our lives demonstrate that we have experienced your love for us. God, may all that we do and all that we say be a powerful witness to the love you have for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said. As we look to the week ahead of us, I invite you to stand and receive God's blessing.